This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got the right where we want.
Primetime on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What up? Good Friday. How's everybody?
I'm out of the closet.
Yes,
so I'm feeling
you are.
Good.
Yeah, we're back in studio, man.
Tired of being in the closet. I'd like to be out.
It's a home game.
Hey, there's a big neon sign.
Yeah, isn't that cool? That's one of the coolest things we have around here.
Oh, yeah. That was when
you remember that thing?
That was Fort Awesome.
Yeah, so here's the story behind that. Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, whoa. Let me back up.
All right.
Welcome to our show.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Thank you for being here. Not you.
Oh.
The listeners.
I was excited that you were welcoming me to the show. I was like, well, that's very nice of you, but I take it back now, you jerk.
So we've been in a side studio here at Intercom Portland on the banks of the poop-filled Willamette River.
Yes.
For the last week, because they were re-outfitting our studio with modern equipment.
Doesn't really seem any different.
It's a little different. It's not much different.
It's very different in here.
But it pertains to the main studio there.
Yeah, in the control room. I don't really sense anything different other than I have a bunch of random stuff down by my feet now.
Well, you also have the new headphone jack in front of you.
That's true.
Isn't that fun?
Fun? Let's go with that.
And now I can talk back into one of your ears specifically and not to both of you at the same
time.
Look at the technology. Look at the technology chops now on Mike Lynch.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Now, for a while there, we didn't have the ability to pause live audio.
Do we now?
I think we do now.
I doubt it. So in the control room behind Mike, they've put a big, giant neon sign, and it's lit up, and it says The Fan Sports Radio 1080 AM, because that's the station. That's actually this station.
Right here.
So it's a big red letters, Fan, and then white, the 1080, and then the AM is in red. And it's really cool. And that came from when there was a sliver of time where the late Paul Allen relinquished control of the Moda Center, the Rose Garden.
Yeah, and Global Spectrum, which is a company out of Philadelphia, came in and they were running it. And then to piss the Blazers off, I do believe that this was just a shot across their bow because they don't really care for us. We put up a studio on Blazer game days where we would broadcast live from the Moda Center, even though we weren't the home of the Blazers.
Yeah, that made them mad.
But we did it from the Lexus Club level, and it pissed them off something fierce, and they got us a big, giant neon sign to put up there.
Yeah, so everybody knew that was our studio, and people would come by like, hey, you know, hey, go Blazers or whatever.
And, yeah, it's...
And eventually, Paul Allen got control of the arena back.
And kicked us out.
And the second that happened, we were out of there.
I mean, literally. I think that might have been the first thing that happened was they took down the sign and they gave us the heave-ho.
So Dennis Glasgow was our program director at the time. That's our boss.
Yeah.
Now Jeff Baton Rouge.
We have like 9 bosses, but it's our boss directly above us.
And Dennis worked long and hard to even get us on the LED screen in the arena. Like when you were sitting in the bowl watching the game.
Yeah.
Our faces would flash across it's that strip, like right around the 200 level.
Yeah, it separates the good seats from the nosebleeders.
Yeah, and right there they've got different advertisements and stuff and the LED screens, and our faces would come up on there.
And again, it was really just to piss them off. It was a long...
it's good advertising,
but it's been a long battle with between them and us.
Yeah, so they kicked us out of there. So anyway, we've had that neon sign.
It's just been sitting in there.
It's been sitting over by Dirt and Sprague's desk.
Yeah, so someone had the wise idea when they redid the studios to, I don't know, put it up.
That's really cool.
There you go.
It looks cool, man.
Yeah, neon is, it's one of those things, I don't know about you, but every time I see neon signs, I think of one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you have the same, like if you're just driving down the road and it's night and you see the neon sign.
You mean like girls, girls, girls?
Yeah, I know that that's probably like the, like an irrational sort of thought, but I can't help it. If it's at night and you see something really like, and especially if it's like purple or pink, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, peeler joint. And then you walk by and it's like, oh, it's a dental office. I'm like, oh, that's
could be a nail studio.
Yeah.
Nail salon.
But it's just, that's where my mind instantly goes. And maybe that says something about me, but whenever I see the neon sign, that's where I head in my head. That's where I head to.
Well, maybe for those people coming in for big, you know, like client meetings or sales pitches or whatever,
Lynch gears down a little bit.
They'll walk through and they'll see that sign and they'll immediately think, oh, you have a strip club in here.
Yeah. Well, we talked about putting in a hot chicks room. I mean, that was when they were asking us what we want in the studio. That was my first suggestion. I mean, look, this one next to us, what are we doing with that? You're telling me we can't have a hot chicks room over there? We just have hot chicks that party like 24/7? I mean, you've got one at your house. I know it hasn't aged real well. You probably need to update the talent, but I think it would work here in the studio, kind of lift everyone's spirits, be a client sort of thing.
Well, we have a big show today. At least that's what I'm told by the powers that be.
Yeah. Word from on high, if you will.
I don't know what's on it.
No, but.
But I am told that perhaps Joey Harrington will be back in studio today at 5:30.
Fingers crossed.
Former Duck.
Soon to be 40-year-old Joey Harrington.
Yeah, he's turning 40.
I think he's having like a big birthday bash this weekend.
Well, yeah, he should. I mean, 40's a big deal.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
Yeah, he didn't like you.
No.
But.
Are you invited?
No.
No.
But 40 is a 40's a fun number. Well, it's not a fun number. I take that back.
Did you do something when you turned 40?
Well, not really.
So it's a
my wife threw me a little.
So it's a big deal, but apparently it's not a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. You don't have to make it a big deal, but 40's a big one. You know, I mean, that's like it's a milestone one.
Sure. Wasn't well, like every 10 years, right? You turn. Well, I guess
I don't think 30's that big of a deal.
Well, and I guess 20 is 21 would 20, be
21. You go. Here's what you do. You go 17.
Well, it's sweet 16.
Or 16, sorry.
Yeah, he's 17. No one cares about 17.
16, 21.
Yeah.
40.
I think 50 is kind of a big deal, too.
Maybe 50.
50 is the over-the-hill one. Like, that's where everyone gets you, like, the Grim Reaper and the black balloons. And then no one does that for 60 because there's a real belief that you could indeed die. And then I think you don't.
Yeah, nobody celebrates 60. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, you're 60? Whoa.
And then I think 80 may be a celebration. You're like, you're still alive. Hey!
I think you're at 110. And it's like, oh.
110?
Wait, you're still here?
Interesting. Yeah. No, I think
it goes from 50 to 110.
I feel like there's a celebration at 80. There should be one at 90. I mean, you live to be 90. That's an accomplishment. I'm not living to 90. Are you?
Well, I hope so, but probably not.
I'm planning old. On that.
I am dying.
Well, anyway, it's Joey Harrington's 40th birthday somewhere around in here. Yeah. And so he will be by at 5:30. Talk some football.
Well, there you go. We have a bit of a clash happening up in the Palouse involving his Oregon Ducks. Could be a good one. I think this has a chance. Well, I mean, Oregon-Washington will probably end up being the Pac-12 game of the year. I mean, that was the rivalry game.
You don't think the Stanford-Oregon game?
No.
That game was great.
That was great, but I think the Washington one was better than that. I felt like the Stanford one had a fluky kind of element to it, and I felt like the Oregon-Washington one was just, I don't know, I thought that was a better game, that was a more entertaining game. Plus, to be honest with you, I don't really buy Stanford, and I think Oregon or Washington, I think one of them are going to win the conference, and so I'm going to give the nod towards that. But yeah, I think I'll listen to you, Stanford, Oregon. But I think this one has a chance to be in there for fight of the year. I think you're going to get a hell of a game up in Pullman. Plus, the environment that's going to be up there. I mean, the stories that are coming out on Twitter, people are saying that this is going to be as good a college game day as they've had in years. Because to be honest with you, after however many years they've been doing this, 15, 20 years, I think it's 15 years since they've been doing the Coug flag. It's really lost some of the spark.
What has?
The college game day. When it comes to places, I remember when it first started coming to Autzen.
It's still a good bit, but.
It is, but it doesn't. I remember when we first started doing the show, you know, 12, 13 years ago, and then it would come to Oregon. It was a big freaking deal. I
think it still is, even when it comes to Oregon.
I think it's a lukewarm deal at best. And around the country, like to Ohio State, to LSU fans, to Alabama fans, I don't know how big a deal it is. But I think the buzz, I'll say this, the buzz that's been created around it coming to Pullman, I don't remember another time that we've been doing this, that this generated the buzz quite like it has up in Pullman. So I think you've got a 4:30 kick. So great game time. Unbelievable environment up there. Martin Stadium's going to be rocking. Two damn good football teams. And, you know, maybe the Pac-12 North on the line.
They're going to get so drunk up there.
Yes.
Well, do you think they'll get
on?
Do you think they'll get so drunk that nobody shows up to the game?
No, they'll find a way to rally.
There's just strewn bodies all out in the parking lot.
You know who got there yesterday at 5 in the afternoon?
John Sicanic.
Patrick Harris.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Coug.
He's a Coug. And then we've got, well, let's name the Cougs. We've got Coug Ludes, Johnny Ludes.
Johnny Ludes.
But he's out on the East Coast now.
Yeah, he's not making that trip.
We've got Jason Puckett up at KJR. We've got Ian Furness up at KJR, buddies of ours. We've got.
I think Puckett may be. I think I saw on Twitter he may be going up for it.
Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. John, your brother.
Yeah, the big fella.
But he won't be going, right?
No, he's not a real.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's not his scene.
Right.
Like he's been up, I think, a couple times, but it's more of a, like he's taking his kids up there to kind of see it, but he's not showing up for a game like this.
Coug Raj, who used to man the,
the hospitality desk.
Yeah. At the Rose Garden, at the arena there.
Yeah.
He's a big Coug fan. We got a lot of Coug friends.
Yeah. Go Cougs. I was almost a Coug.
Are you rooting for the Cougs?
I
Whoa.
You know what? I probably will be pulling.
Caught for you off guard.
I'll be pulling for the Cougs a little bit.
Will you?
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
Well, the brother connection. I'll probably be going for the Cougs.
I just want to see a good game.
I do too. I guess there's part of me that
kind of. I like college football, Jason.
Rooting for the little underdog, but I think Oregon would be better for the Pac-12 if Oregon won. Plus, I think Oregon has an outside shot of the college football playoff. I don't think Washington State does.
Well, my.
Because I do think Washington State will lose again. I think Oregon, if they get by this, has a real good chance to run the table. So for the sake of the Pac-12, maybe I'll say you pull for Oregon.
Do you want to hear what Mike Leach says about that?
Yes.
That's 50% stupid.
Skip, I'm with you,
in
man.
In your face.
Give me a good game, and I really don't care who comes out on top. Give me one like we had, well, either the Stanford game or the Washington game, right? One went Oregon's way, one didn't. Give me a game like that comes down to the wire.
Hey, maybe this is the game day that does in Lee Corso.
Finally, this is it. The Palouse kills him.
Well, I don't want him to die.
Wouldn't that be something if he just keels over, like he puts on like the duck head one last time and it's too much?
Suffocates.
Like it just weighs him down and he just tips over. Boy, wouldn't that be something?
It would be something, yeah.
Well, it'd be a tragic event, but at the same time, there. Wow.
What?
Did you just drop a Lee Corso dying on air?
No.
Suffocated by the duck head, and you just dropped a.
Let me ask you this. Would they show highlights of that on ESPN?
Ooh. No, they wouldn't show highlights, but that's showing up on a Reddit subfeed somewhere. Yeah, that video is making the rounds.
Dude's like, 83.
That's an Instagram post. He's 83, and he's, look, 83. He's seen better days.
No, I just meant did in by like maybe just not be on the show anymore. Maybe this is the one.
Well, no. Look, they're going to keep going until he literally keels over.
He better pick the Cougs. They're going to go crazy.
No, I think he's going to pick the duck.
You think so?
He loves the ducks.
He does?
Yeah. Is
he a duck honk?
He's a duck honk. That, let's be honest.
I never listened to him.
Oregon's the better team.
Well, yeah, but who cares? Who cares about that? God. Weren't they the better team playing Stanford in hindsight?
They were the better team playing
Stanford.
They
lost, bro.
Yeah. Did you see any Stanford last night?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. You know, that last night kind of sucked because the NFL game got none of my attention because it was already blowout by the time.
You see, that was the worst ratings, worst combined rating for a primetime game ever in the NFL.
Ever.
It's like a 6.6.
Well, it was over in the first 5 minutes.
That's like a primetime episode of Blossom back in the day, a 6.6.
Blossom.
Well, it was a big night in the NBA because of the LeBron thing.
Yeah.
You had Major League Baseball going on.
That was good until Devers hit that home run. Was it Devers that hit the
home run? Yeah, it was Devers that hit it.
The three run.
And then you had the college football. By the way, that was a perfectly placed home run. Just right over the wall, like a little couple feet, you know, to the other side. And that's
he's really good, isn't he?
Yeah, he
put that right there.
He placed that. It was like a Phil Mickelson lob shot. It was really high. Then you had the college football game and the fact that it was two teams that no one cared about and it was so bad. Yeah, it drew a 6.6 rating.
The NFL game.
The NFL game.
Yeah, no, I watched. So Stanford, Arizona State, because of the timing of it, got my attention towards the end.
Yeah.
because the Blazers game was still, I mean, I had that on DVR, so I went back and watched all of it this morning, caught the fourth quarter last night, but the NFL game was over and the baseball game was over, so it was just Stanford, Arizona State had a window of sporting time there, and I caught that for most of the second half.
I'm pointing out two things. First off,
and neither of those teams are that good.
No. So here's my two.
Welcome to the Pac-12.
Here's my observations from that game. One is it's becoming increasingly evident week to week that the Herm Edwards experiment, even though I thought it was going to be a disaster and then it started okay, it's going back to being a disaster. Their clock management and situational football is god awful. Like the final minute of that game, what the hell are you doing, Arizona State? And then the second one is, what kind of bizarre world are we living in when Stanford can't run the football? Like, they literally cannot run the football. And they have
their offensive line isn't any good.
But it's supposed to be like this conglomerate of all Americans and four-star kids.
You know, you're an offensive lineman. Sometimes they don't gel.
It's not good. And then, you know, Bryce Love, well, one, he's always hurt, but Bryce Love can't run the ball. And
you think maybe he's coasting for the NFL?
Boy, if he is, he's costing himself a lot of money because he doesn't look good at all. It's bizarre to me.
Well, they won.
That Stanford can't run the football. Yeah, and they won. Largely because Arizona State is terrible on offense.
All right, well, let's get to going here. We've got Joey at 5:30. We're going to set your college football DVR today. We've got Mega Millions news.
Got your ticket?
No.
I bought a couple.
Good.
This is my first.
I hope you win.
This is my first ever lottery play. Never done it.
Ever?
No. I have never bought
a
lottery.
Are you serious?
Well, do the scratchy tickets count? The scratchy lottos?
Yeah, that's lottery.
Okay. Flip that then. This is my first ever non-scratchy lottery game.
You mean like big jackpot buy?
Yeah, I've never bought a ticket for a Mega Millions or a Powerball where you just get the numbers. I've never done that. The only lottery ticket I've ever bought is the little scratchy ones. And
you know what that means?
What?
You're going to win.
I feel it. We got three of them.
You're going to win.
Six big dollars we put into this. $1 billion.
When's the drawing?
Tonight.
Oh, it is tonight.
Yeah, and I bought it in Washington, so if I win... No state tax.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I get more money than you.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
But I didn't play, so I'm not going to get any money.
I'll take care of you.
Yeah, thanks.
I got you.
That's great.
If we win, you don't have to work anymore.
I'm rooting for you. What are our numbers?
I don't know. My daughter's got them.
I don't even know what Mega Millions is, really. I just know that the jackpot's high and everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, it's $1 billion.
So is it like Powerball where you just draws numbers?
Yeah, just draw numbers. But if I win, you can quit because I'm quitting too. So I figure it's just best if the show just quits altogether.
You gonna take care of Mikey?
We'll see about that.
Wow.
Mike may still have to work, but we'll do something nice for him.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
Mike, you can get a lot of balloons. I'll give you a balloon and some flowers, and I'll buy you a new video game system.
Yay.
All right, we've got some, Blazer talk from last night. You know, I got a little bit of that.
That's a great game.
Yeah.
Told you. Yeah, Stauskas.
You told me.
I told you.
What?
I told you people were excited about the sauce.
I thought that was quick.
Oh, yeah, that was quick. Someone told us.
Nasty Nick.
It was a big game.
Was it?
Yeah.
We also have Friday.
You downplaying it.
We have Friday randoms today and some other stuff. So let's get started, huh? Let's wrap up that Blazer game last night, and then we'll move on to college football on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, somebody texted Better You Today, text line at 55305, and they said, Oregon's the underdog in this game because we were talking about Oregon being the better team.
Yeah, what is it, a point and a half, something like that?
I've got it at 3.
You
got
to put your mic on there, Souk.
Yeah, you need to turn your mic on. Washington State. -3, according to Vegas Insider.
I am going to do this, by the way, about 1,000 times. I keep hitting the old.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
Disengage.
Yeah, we have the old on-off button that's right by my hand.
No, see, I don't. Mine's gone.
Oh, it's they've.
Yeah, because mine was on a console, so that console's been replaced. Yours is built into the.
Yeah, I have 15 years of hitting a button to turn my mic on and off, and that button is still there.
So let's play the new fun game of how many times a day Souk will do this.
7.
You should put like a piece
7
of paper
times.
Over it or something.
I've already done it twice today.
Why don't you tape over it?
Yeah, I need to put duct tape over it. Because we are, 24 minutes into the program? I've done it twice. In fact, the over-under is 7. I would probably take the over.
Two segments.
Yeah.
You're 2 for 2.
2 for 2. There's plenty of segments.
Yeah, Washington State's favored by 3, according to this.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
Well, I thought, see, when I first saw this, they said that it was Washington State like 1.5, 2, and that the money, like a day after they announced those odds, that it had already gone the other way, and Oregon was the favorite because so much money had come in. So now we're saying that it's back to Washington State being the favor?
Yeah.
Huh. It's a bit surprising. Although, you know, Washington State's a good football team, and Oregon is coming off an emotional physical game. Washington State's on a bye. I think Washington State's beat them 3 years in a row. I mean, I get why. I just don't know if I would consider Oregon a real underdog in this. I do think Oregon's the better team.
I got one reason why.
What?
Because I clicked on the Washington State page on Vegas Insider,
mm-hmm.
and it shows you how they've done against the spread.
Yeah.
They've covered every week.
Well, that, yeah.
And that's why.
That's
so
why.
Washington, so Vegas has undervalued Washington State, and so they're trying to recalibrate that.
Yeah. Washington State's a good football team. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be an upset if either team wins. I think you're going to get it will be within a touchdown. This is going to be a single score game. And I get why that Washington State, from a style standpoint, can give Oregon problems. I just think Oregon is the more talented team. I think Oregon is the deeper team. And there's something about it that I have a feeling that Oregon isn't going to have a huge letdown, but it wouldn't shock me. In fact, before the Washington game, I called my shot. I said, I think the Cougs get them. But I think that Washington game, I don't know, the grit, the physicality, it sold me a little bit on Oregon, the way they won against Washington, even though I get it, it came down to a field goal and Washington hits that. And we're talking about this being completely a different scenario. But Oregon sold me, I think, a little bit after the Washington win.
Hey, fun times. Should be a good game.
Absolutely.
It's no Cal Oregon State, but it'll be a good game.
Well, I think Washington State's going to score. I believe that. I just don't know if Washington State has the front seven that's going to be able to slow down Oregon. But if Oregon can't run the ball and they have to drop back and get into a shootout and start slinging it around, that's the one that would scare me a little bit, because Washington State does play an attacking defense. And, you know, I know Washington State isn't known for defense, but I think they're like third maybe in the conference in points allowed. I mean, Washington State does actually play defense now. It's just like when they played against USC, I get it. USC's receiving corps is probably a little bit deeper than Oregon's is, and they've got some studs, but Oregon's got some guys like Dylan Mitchell on the outside, and Washington State did struggle in the second half playing those guys man-to-man. And I do think that you're going to have to play them with some man in order to get some pressure and bring some heat. And so there will be opportunities for Oregon one-on-one on the outside. And that's another big one to watch, is that when Herbert is throwing the ball downfield, you know, do you have success? Can you overmatch Washington State secondary, which is what USC did a little bit to get back in that game and end up pulling out an upset? Because Washington State, I thought, was better than USC in that football game.
Well, maybe the Cougs will coug it in extraordinary Coug fashion. Maybe they'll pick the biggest stage to coug it the most they've ever couged it.
Well, if
it's quite possible.
So Washington State's what, 25th in the country?
It's what they do.
They're 5-1, should be 6-0. They beat Oregon. You could make the argument that this is the biggest game in Washington State since, you know, the Rose Bowl years. Since the 3 straight 10-win seasons with Bill Doba after Mike Price left.
I remember a few Apple Cups that were a pretty big deal down there.
Well, the last
up there.
The last couple of years, you know, believe it or not, the Apple Cup has been for the Pac-12 North title.
I know. Washington just kicks their ass.
Yeah, they've got a Chris Peterson problem. But this one, I mean, you win this and you're probably, going to jump up there into that 15-16 range. You're going to have everything you want right in front of you in the Pac-12 North. I mean, we talked about this game being, you know, the Washington game for Oregon kind of signifying your back. I think this is one, because you let the USC game get away from you, unfortunately. But if you're Washington State and you win this, this is a monster game for your program, because this was supposed to be a rebuilding year. And, you know, no one expected much out of Washington State.
Why did they say that?
Because, you lose your quarterback. And then, to be cruel, you lost both of your quarterbacks, right? And you had to replace a lot of your offensive line, including two All-American, All-Conference type players. You lost your defensive coordinator, who a lot of people thought was the reason why your defense had played so well. You lose him to Ohio State. And you lose a guy like Hercules Mataafa, who was probably the best defensive player you've had there in 10 years. I mean, there was a lot gone from Washington State. And, you know, you look at what they've done with Minshew and the graduate transfer from East Carolina. Some people are now saying that by the end of the year, this could be the deepest receiving core that Leach has had since he's been there. And the defense hasn't fallen off the same way that people thought it was going to when you lost your defensive coordinator and a couple big guys. So it's been a surprising year for Washington State. And if you can find a way to beat Oregon here, you set yourself up for maybe another showdown with Washington. And maybe this is the year you finally get over the hump.
Yeah. Yeah. When you say back, though, Washington State's been good. I mean,
yeah, Washington State's been good.
They won last 3 years, they won 9-8-9. I mean, they've gone 31-14 in their last 45 games.
But
you're talking about like getting over the hump.
Getting over the hump.
They're like Utah of the North.
Yes. I think that is a very good comp. You're Utah every year, the last couple, right? It's like, oh, Washington State in the mix. And you touch the top 25 and you lose a game you shouldn't, you fall back. And you've been a game away from winning the damn North a couple times now, just like Utah has, and you always seem to stub your toe. And unfortunately for Washington State, the person you're stubbing your toe against is Washington, your arch rival, and those Apple Cups haven't been close. You've been bludgeoned by Chris Peterson and the Huskies. And so if you find a way to beat Oregon here, I think maybe there'll be a belief in Pullman now that this is the year that not only are you going to be in that conversation, but maybe it's realistic to think that you can finally get over the hump that is Washington. Because they've, you know, the Oregon thing, you should have confidence. You've beat Oregon 3 straight years.
All right. Well, we were supposed to do some hot Blazer talk there, but we didn't.
Oh, yeah.
We can't get off the Cougs and the Ducks. We love it so much. We're so excited.
I'm excited about this. But let's go back maybe now. And
we'll... Yeah, yeah. One segment, Trailblazers own LeBron James. Owned him. With all their white guys.
And his short shorts.
So it is 3:31. Let's go to Mike with Sports Center.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Better You Today text line pointing out the last three quarterbacks for the Ducks against the Cougs. Jeff Lockie. Dakota Prukup. Remember him?
I do remember him.
What happened to him?
He was supposed to be like the great graduate transfer.
Are you 3 for 3, by the way?
I'm 3 for 3. Yeah, happened again.
Man.
Yeah.
Did you bring your brain today or...
15 years of pushing one button.
15 years of what?
Pushing one button.
Yeah.
And
okay,
that button
right.
is
Not
still
what I heard, but,
there. I really do need to tape over this because it's going to get me literally every
three
second.
3 for 3, baby. Let's see if you can do it.
I think they could remove that for you, but then I still think that you would press the empty space out of habit every time.
Start randomly just mashing where the button was.
Let's see, Prukup, where were we? What ended up happening to that guy?
Nothing. He got benched.
Did he transfer? I thought.
No, he was just a 1 year graduate transfer and then he got benched.
Selling insurance or pharmaceutical equipment pharmaceuticals or medical equipment.
I'm going to go medical equipment. I like working for Stryker maybe.
Yeah.
Like selling that replacement
right.
knees. Yeah. Yeah. One of those. Or you know what? He was one of those real like square jaw types. I can see him wearing some coaching shorts somewhere.
Ah,
yeah, he's one of those guys that can't give up the game. So I'm thinking maybe junior college.
All it's given to him. How could he?
Yeah, junior college coach. I'll see if I can do a little research in the break and find out what happened to Mr. Prukup.
Braxton Burmeister III.
Ah, yeah. That
so was, Burmeister.
Well, we know where he's at.
Prukup and Lockie. So asterisk.
Justin Herbert slightly. Better than those three quarterbacks, yes.
Okay, Blazers won last night. I don't know if you guys saw it, but they won, let's see, off the top of my head, it was 128-119, I think. Hello? Anyone?
Sure, I'll go with that.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in there. 126, I believe it was.
Pretty exciting.
It was a great game. I thought it was fun. Kind of go back and forth and electric environment and the media horde around LeBron. And Is anyone surprised that the Blazers won? Are you okay over there?
Well, Mike and I are working through some technical issues. Don't you worry about that.
128-119.
Yeah, so I was right.
You were right.
Yeah. They won by 9. Covered the spread.
Yes, they did.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think it changed.
What did you ask? Was anybody surprised? No.
No, wasn't surprised. I mean, they've won.
Because I think the Lakers, you know, everybody knows it's going to take them a little time.
Yes. And I think they're fatally flawed. They were talking about it on last night's broadcast.
Already fatally flawed, huh?
Well, they don't have shooters. Would they go 0 for 16 from behind the arc? I mean, it's amazing they were in the game late. 0 for 16. This is not a good shooting team. And and you look at the first two picks in the draft between Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, who just was overmatched again. How bad do those two picks look when you look at what Jason Tatum's doing and the fact that Boston traded back in order to get him?
I kept watching from the Lakers' perspective. I kept watching that game going, God, when are we going to be talking about like Kawhi Leonard with LeBron?
Yeah.
Like it's only a matter of time before another superstar or two is running alongside him. Because you watch, it was so weird. It was weird watching him in a Laker uniform. And, you know, I mean, I think they're good. I think they'll be a top four seed in the West. I do, because I just have that much faith in LeBron. That roster's not that bad. And, they don't have shooters. But LeBron, just, again, discount him at your own peril. But he'll get them where they need to be. It's just, you know, they'll be limited. It'll be weird to see, you know, maybe the final four or maybe even, I don't know, if LeBron bows out in the first round. I think they'll make the playoffs. But it'll be weird without LeBron in the bulk of the playoffs.
Yeah,
that would be strange. Well,
how many years?
They need him.
Has it been
eight,
9 years?
Oh, more than that, hasn't it?
I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time he wasn't in a finals, let alone at least in a conference finals.
But I just kept thinking, God, you know, it's only a matter of time before some studs running next to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he kind of has this, I'm good with this type of attitude right now. It's kind of weird. It feels like he's just
It is strange. If this was about winning.
He just wanted to live in L.A.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't going to the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, enough about them.
Yeah. I thought Portland looked good.
How about your hometown boys?
My hometown Blazers. You didn't get a great shooting night from Dame or CJ, but both ended up contributing and were big in the fourth quarter, and we've come to expect that from Lillard. You got a great effort. I mean, let's slow down on the Stauskas for sixth man of the year, but
what?
Holy hell.
Why?
You know, that's
Nasty Nick.
Nasty Nick.
Dude, that we needed a white guy with an attitude here in town.
He's the new Luke Babbitt, except he can actually shoot.
Yeah, but he's got a little tude.
I saw after the game, you know, he's played for what, 4 NBA teams now? This may be his fifth. Someone asked him, that's your best game since? And I think he said Michigan. I mean,
what's he done? How long has he been around?
I think this is his fourth or fifth NBA team. He's bounced around a bit. But he had a monster night. Myers Leonard contributed in ways that weren't, scoring. Zach Collins played good defense. What did he have, 5-6 blocks last night? I think there was a lot to like. There's a lot to like about last night. Now, that being said, you got murdered in the paint. I think LA had, 50 points in the paint midway through the third quarter. That's not going to help. It's nice when they go 0 for 16 from behind the arc. So certainly, I don't know, there's flaws, but it's a nice night for Portland. Got a win. I thought the memorial to Paul Allen was well done. And Portland pulled out a game, and you had your stars show up in the clutch.
Yeah, it was a fun night. It's kind of juice, you know, when LeBron comes to town.
Well,
the Lakers.
Did you see the media horde afterwards? Some of the photos coming out of that?
I did.
There's 100 people surrounding an opening night. People were saying it might have been the Shans that dropped that. Shans has been there, I think, for every opening night, and he said that was the most electric opening night that he had been a part of.
Listen to the Blazers' next home games, all the way through mid-November. They play the Spurs next, Wizards, Pelicans, Lakers again, T-Wolves, Bucks, Clippers, Celtics.
That's
pretty good.
That's great. That's...
It's going to be some fun times over here.
Some times that hopefully, you know, the place will get rocking. And I don't know, Portland played with energy. And
They're a good regular season team, built for the playoffs. But hey, we know what they are. It was just a kind of, you know, for one night it was fun because it's the opening night and the whole Paul Allen thing and then LeBron thing. So there was a lot going on. And all eyes were on Portland. And they They held serve, man. That was good. Yeah. You knew they'd win, right? They always win home openers, and they always get a little bee in their bonnet when they're headed to TNT and they're playing the Lakers.
16 or 17 in a row?
That's 18.
18 in a row against the Lakers?
Home, no, 18 in a row home openers, which is an NBA record, and that's 16 in a row against the Lakers.
Yeah, and you could tell.
Which is crazy.
Lillard was even, you know.
But you watch ESPN SportsCenter, and you would have thought LeBron won. And yeah. The Lakers won.
And that was kind of Lillard's point after the game. I don't think he was necessarily taking shots, but he did point out that I think there was some extra motivation that they wanted to give an FU that, hey, we're pretty good here too. We expect to beat these guys. No offense to LeBron James, but no one was laying down for that. There was a pep in the step last night.
You know what? He's right. They are pretty good.
Yeah.
Here too.
Well, they were, they were the 3 seed last year. And if the bench, if one game is any indication, the bench is better. If you can get Aminu to stop shooting threes, which was a little dicey, but there was a lot to like about that effort last night. I think there was some positive things to take out of that.
All right. Coming up next, let's go to the NFL, a casualty of last night's Thursday night football. And we have an NFL trade today. There's been a trade. Ooh. Do you know who got traded?
The ever rare midseason trade?
Yeah.
I did see who got dealt.
Oh, okay.
Well, this team doesn't have anyone else that can run the football.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal.
But no, but it's a deal. Opens the way for a rookie.
Yeah, we'll get to those items when we return. It's 3:45 on the Fan.
Bro.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors
bro.
Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Brother, bro, brother, bro, brother, bro, brother, bro, brother, bro. Brother, bro.
Hey, it's Rob and Souk. What's up?
Hey, I managed to turn on my mic this time.
Ooh, 3 for 4.
Yep.
One for four.
Trended in the right direction. Yeah, 1 for 4. You know what? Nothing wrong. Just starting off with singles. Just trying to put the ball in play.
No longer pussing.
No, we are not.
15 years you've been pussing. That's great.
Long time.
We need to pull that drop.
Long time.
Okay, so I've got some scuttlebutt on celebrity guest pickers for the Cougs.
Yeah, I've heard the rumor.
So we're going to get to that next. Mm. But last night, Denver hammered Arizona. And I think the final was 45-10, I want to say, in sports. And then Mike McCoy got fired today. The offensive coordinator of the Cardinals.
Right after they said that they didn't want to make any rash decisions, they went ahead and made a rash decision.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah, they gave the dreaded vote of confidence. Well, we're not ready to make any changes.
Well, you can't fire the head coach because he just hired him.
Yes.
So Steve Wilkes, is that the guy?
Steve Wilkes is their head coach. So they fired their offensive coordinator and promoted, who knew that Byron Leftwich was on the coaching staff for the Cards?
Yeah, I guess Byron Leftwich is a hot up-and-coming offensive mind in the game.
And I guess this would be Rosen. I think I saw in 5 years now between college and the NFL, this will be 5 coordinators for Josh Rosen.
Really?
Yeah.
He's the new Alex Smith.
Hmm. And there's something to this. I mean, I feel bad for the kid, right? He's getting rubbed over the coals here or something fierce. And
I think it's raked.
Raked, rubbed. He's terrible. It's not going well, but there's been a lot of guys that have looked bad in bad offenses without good coaching. And at UCLA, he was bounced around a lot, didn't have any protection. I think he was sacked 6 times last night, left the game with a bad toe.
He had turned it over 5 times.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way to have the multiple picks, a couple fumbles.
I looked up his QBR. I've watched him a few times, and you know what? He's not horrible. He just, like you said, it could be a combination of, well, he's young, but two, a bad offensive coordinator, just a bad system, whatever. Bad offensive line, too.
Yeah.
But he shows flashes. I'm not ready to say he sucks. But his quarterback rating is 66.
Well, last night.
And that is the third worst in the league.
Yeah, it's not good.
Can you name the two below him? The two worst.
Are they starters or are they like partial guys?
Well, one guy's been benched. But, yeah, I mean, they've both started.
Well, I would say Nathan Peterman would probably have the worst one.
Well, he doesn't qualify.
He doesn't qualify. Tyrod Taylor, maybe?
Tyrod's one of them.
Yeah, he got benched.
He was second worst. Who's the worst quarterback rating in the league?
Worst quarterback rating in the league.
He's hurt.
I'm trying to think of who's been this bad. I don't know. Who's the...
Josh Allen.
Oh.
He's last.
Well, there you go.
So those three are the worst.
Two of those being rookies without great teams around them.
Right.
But, I mean, look, Josh Rosen isn't good. I mean, you can make all the excuses you want. He's been terrible. You know, 21 of 39.
But doesn't mean he can't be good, is what I'm saying.
No. And to be fair, one of them came on a tip last night, one of the pick sixes, and the other one, the guy either quit on the route or it was a miscommunication. Right. I think that was the Harris one that got taken back. He had the two pick sixes. You know, Rosen's throwing to a spot, and I don't know if Rosen screwed up and threw it to the wrong spot. I don't know if the receiver ran the wrong route, if he quit on a route, but that's, I don't know if you can put that one 100% on him. That's one of those. Tony Romo had a couple of these. You're like, good God, where are you throwing the football? But that is not 100% on Josh Rosen. Some of that is you're playing in a bad offense with bad players around you.
So McCoy was the offensive coordinator. I don't know. Can he coach? I mean, he's now been fired 3 times in 22 months.
And yet someone will continue to give him a job.
He was the Chargers head coach, and then he was the Broncos offensive coordinator, and they turfed his ass.
Yeah.
And now he's been fired from this job.
Well, but in the NFL, once someone
and
thinks
he has
you
David
can...
Johnson, too.
I know. Well, and Larry Fitzgerald's still there. Yeah, it's not the
come on, man.
It's not the worst offense in the world, but it is right now with Josh Rosen.
It's one of the worst in the league,
yeah.
Statistically.
Yeah.
So he got fired after that. And then so Byron Leftwich takes over. And then the trade today is Carlos Hyde got traded from the Browns to the Jags.
Yeah, so Leonard Fournette is out. No one knows for how long. He's missed, 3 games in a row, 5 total with that hamstring. And TJ Yeldon is playing with a bum ankle. And then they had another guy that got hurt, too. I'm trying to remember who the other back they had. But they've all of their backs are either out or banged up. And so they made a deal for Carlos Hyde. And this opens the door for Nick Chubb, who was another high pick of the Cleveland Browns. That tells you that they're ready for Chubb to take on a bigger role. And Carlos Hyde, who had good years, productive years in San Francisco, will go down there. And you know, this leads me to believe that Fournette is going to be out for an extended period of time. I don't think this is a week or two that you make a deal like this unless you really do feel like you need someone to fill in for an extended period of time.
So Adrian Peterson has 339 yards rushing so far.
Yeah.
He is 33 years old.
Yeah, he's getting up there.
He is definitely getting up there. And a lot of people just thought he was done, but they say that if he rushes for 1,000 yards this year, which he very well could do if he stays healthy in Washington,
mm-hmm.
There are several that have rushed for 1,000 yards over the age of 30. Do you know who the last one is?
Maybe Curtis Martin?
No.
Over the age of 30. I'm trying to think of...
No, the oldest to last do it.
Okay, so the oldest to last do it. Well, then that would maybe Curtis Martin, Steven Jackson, maybe LT.
You got to go way further back.
LT?
No, Frank Gore did it just a couple years ago, but older than that, the oldest is John Riggins. You got to go all the way back to John Riggins.
How old was John Riggins?
34.
That's the oldest guy?
Well, no, that's just the last oldest
one.
Guy.
Yeah.
Who was oldest.
Huh. Go figure.
John Riggins of Rock Chalk fame.
There is, and a great white man afro, by the way.
Yeah, he was great. John Riggins was a badass.
Yeah, running backs don't last very long. So I'm looking at Adrian Peterson this year. He had 96, 20, 120, and then 6 and 97. So that's actually, you know.
He's not bad.
No, and he's been chipped up a little bit, but he's had 3 productive games. You know, 1 over 100 yards and 2 that are right there. And he's playing an offense that better suits him. I don't know how good Washington is. They're one of those bit of a head scratcher there. But Adrian Peterson is a surefire Hall of Famer. I just don't know if he will ever, as good as his numbers are, and where's he at all time?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, he's the best back of his generation, but don't they kind of seem like hollow numbers
for Peterson?
For Adrian Peterson?
No, he was awesome.
He was.
By the way, Riggins was 35. Sorry, not
35.
Yeah, that's the oldest.
He was awesome, but
he rushed for 1,239 yards.
It never really felt like it meant much to his team.
Well, he didn't go far.
No, he's been in the playoffs, 4 times
playoffs.
In his career? 08, 09, 2012, 2015. And in those, he's been okay. He had 1 big game in 09, but and I guess that's not necessarily his fault. You know, maybe his teams weren't very good. I just...
Kind of like the LT thing.
Yeah, I don't put him in that same category, and maybe that's just naive of me.
Tomlinson better than Peterson, you're
saying?
Yeah,
I wouldn't even... If you asked me which one I'd want for their career, it would take me half a second.
I think that's right.
Adrian Peterson, to me, was an old-school back that had to play in the I formation. He was like the last of a dying breed. And he was really productive, but he wasn't great out of the backfield. He's kind of a one-dimensional player. And that was a great one-dimension. And I'm not doubting that Adrian Peterson is a Hall of Famer. I just don't, if you ask me to think of the best running backs of my life, right? Because I can't go back to Jim Brown and guys like that. That's way before my time. I would start with probably Walter Payton was the one growing up that to me was the greatest. Dickerson, you can throw into that. Tony Dorsett, I caught some of that. But if you ask me to come up with the best backs of my lifetime, I he's nowhere near my top. He just, that doesn't quite compute to me of one of the five or six or seven best, even of his generation. I think of guys like LT. I think of guys like Marshall Faulk. I think of guys like Emmett Smith, Walter Payton. Those guys are just in a bit of a different class to me.
So LT
than he was.
Tomlinson, 10 career playoff games, 468 yards, an average of 3.6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson, 5 career playoff games, so half as many playoff games. 412 yards and an average of, 3.6.
Okay, so, maybe that's not fair of me to say.
So it's not that different. It's just that Peterson did it in about half as many games. But, neither of them have big postseason stats.
No big postseasons. But, Frank Gore is probably up there, but
He's a
compiler, and that's what I'm saying.
Good, but
Frank Gore is, I think, fourth or fifth all time, and I think of Adrian Peterson, in my mind, is better than Frank Gore.
Jackson or Adrian Peterson?
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll take Adrian Peterson.
Okay, so Gore or Peterson? You take Peterson.
I'll take Peterson.
Gore or Jackson?
Ooh. Again, in their prime, I think I'm taking Steven Jackson. Frank Gore has been good for a long time, but I think Steven Jackson in his prime was a better back. And Steven Jackson was just, again, maybe not on the best teams, but dude, that for like 7-8 years, that guy was a machine.
All right, we must run. Carlos Hyde traded from the Bears to the Jags for a 5th-round pick today. Okay, coming up next, we have a little scuttlebutt on who may be the celebrity guest pickers at College Game Day in the police.
You just gave away a hint.
I did.
You did.
I sure did. So, it is 4 o'clock. This is The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.